Happy New Year's, NBA fans, and welcome to another episode of the NBA Outlet presented by OGGBasketball.com. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me today, no Corey, but special guest, Evan Dial, who writes for a million NBA websites. What's up, Evan?
I'm good, man. Happy New Year, Nick.
Ready to talk some ball. Obviously, 2018, we're going to see a lot of great NBA things. 2017 had plenty of good stuff, but last night, the Cleveland Cavaliers got back their key offseason acquisition. Isaiah Thomas made his first appearance in a Cavs uniform. 18 minutes, 17 points, 3 assists, 2 turnovers, 6 of 12 from the field. What was your impression of IT making his first appearance in a Cavs uniform?
Well, it was just awesome to see him back in the first place after 7 months and a severe hip injury. And he looked good, maybe not quite 100% yet, but he was aggressive, got to the basket, had a nice and one, a few nice passes, made the right reads. I felt like he didn't enforce it too much either, played a good mix of on and off the ball. And going forward, I think it's just huge for Cleveland. You know, they could stagger LeBron's minutes a little more. He could carry the offense without him. I think he's a good fit with them because his game is similar to Kyrie. So it's just awesome to see him back. And I think he's only going to improve as he gets healthier and the minutes restrictions come off and he starts playing back-to-backs and all that stuff.
Yeah, like you mentioned, I think it's impressive, the hip injury. You know, a hip injury is a pretty serious thing. I think people don't realize how important your hips are in terms, especially basketball, crouching, exploding, explosion. He didn't look 100%, but he looked a lot better than I anticipated for the Cavs. They have to be super happy about that, especially considering they started to already pick it up and getting back a key cog like Isaiah Thomas is going to be huge. What do you think is going to be the biggest value he brings to the Cavs?
I mean, just another guy who can get his own shot when things break down. He's a lethal off-ball shooter, which LeBron will love to play with as well. And then, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, just carrying the offense a bit. Not that their bench has been a problem, but now it could be even more explosive when LeBron rests. And maybe they could, you know, start playing LeBron a little fewer minutes as the playoffs get closer. And he's so dynamic. And now they can unleash some lineups with him, Love, and Korver, and another shooter that are just near unstoppable.
Yeah, they definitely have some really offensive explosion. I think, like you said, resting LeBron is going to be key because they're going to be able to put Isaiah out there at times, and he's going to be able to run the show, scoring points. And we saw last night he started to kind of build up a nice chemistry already with some of the guys. Obviously, he's played a lot with Jay Crowder already, so that could definitely be a nice little combo right there. What do you think this means for Derrick Rose when he comes back? Obviously, the second unit, not including Isaiah Thomas, has already been playing well. Do you think Derrick Rose, if he comes back to the Cavs, is going to see minutes, or they're just going to keep him on the bench because they're kind of getting things rolling right without him?
I mean, they should keep him on the bench. It's the thing to do. He was terrible when he was playing, and now they got Thomas. And even Calderon is fine on that team as a backup. And, of course, LeBron plays a lot of points, too. So they really don't have a need for him. And then there's Dwayne Wade as well. And so there's just not really room for what he does with the ball. And I honestly think the best thing for him is just to be on the bench. Will they do that? It's another question. But I think that's definitely what's best for him.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think the best thing would be to do is leave him on the bench. Have him if someone does get injured or hurt, or, you know, it's a blowout, you need to rest people because he can come in and still get some points, but I don't think you want to mess up what you have because I think Jose Calderon, obviously as old as he is and as least athletic as he is, you know, he still understands better what the Cavs need from their point guard than what Derrick Rose kind of understands what he thinks they need. So I think that's obviously very important. But back to Isaiah Thomas. What do you think he does for the Cavs versus the Warriors? Does much change, or it's just, you know, they're going to lose in five games? They're going to lose in six games instead of five now.
Yeah, I mean, it helps, but slightly. The Warriors should definitely still be the favorites, hands down. I don't see any way Cleveland is able to stop them at all. Thomas will only help in trying to outscore the Warriors, so that's the only way he'll slightly help, but. Yeah, as you said, maybe it's one more game. It's six instead of five, but Warriors should definitely still be the favorites.
Yeah, it's just so much for the Cavs, like we've talked about in the past, defensively for them to overcome, especially not only Isaiah Thomas, but overall with their roster, and obviously Golden State being one of the historically great teams that we'll probably ever see in the NBA. But talking about Eastern Conference guards, DeMar DeRozan just put on a performance the other night, started the new year right with 52 points, 8 assists, 5 steals, 17 to 29 from the field, 5 of 9 from 3, 13 to 13 from the free throw line, all in an overtime win. What were your thoughts on the performance from DeRozan?
I mean, the two biggest things that jump out are the 8 assists and the 5 of 9 or 3s. It's very on DeRozan, but it's credit to him. He gets a little better every year and adds something to his game. And this year, his passing has never been better. He's averaging a career high in assists. And in the past week or two, he's starting to take threes and make them at an above average clip. It remains to be seen if that can continue, especially in the playoffs. But for now, he looks confident taking them, even though the defense is giving it to them. And that changes everything for his game and the Raptors. And then just as for the game, the amount of tough shots he hit, I mean, just incredible. It was awesome to watch.
Yeah, I think the three-point shot is just such a big factor for DeRozan because it's already been incredible. I think he doesn't get enough credit because he scores so many points in the mid-range, in the post, contested shots, hard shots. If he starts to open up, you know, that three-point shot, it's going to space the floor for the Raptors and for himself. It's going to be a lot easier to get to the rim if they have to respect him from three. So I think that's something to really keep an eye on. Like you said, he's picked it up as late. If he can keep that going, especially come playoff time, it could be a big impact for the Raptors. How big an impact do you think it could be if he does consistently start to knock down the three? And we're not talking, you know, 40% from the field. We're talking maybe 35% from three, not attempting a ton, but enough to impact the game. How much do you think that does for the Raptors in moving the needle playoff-wise?
Yeah, I think he just needs to be average around the 34% mark from there, you know, 2 for 5 from three kind of shootings. And if he does that, that will just open up so many things for him and for his teammates in the playoffs. Because in the playoffs, they're obviously going to say, show me you can hit the shot consistently. And if he hits a few, especially early in a playoff game, that opens up, you know, driving lanes and then for him to drive and kick. And it's something the Raptors obviously haven't had in past playoffs. So it really would open up everything and teams would start trapping them less and they could get into their offense a little bit easier.
Yeah, definitely. And it would make like life easier on so many guys in that team. And like Lowry would be able to step up a little bit more because DeRozan would just be getting that much more attention being a three-point shooter. But talking about DeRozan, obviously we talked about Isaiah Thomas, Eastern Conference guards. Who would be your top three, your best guard in the East this year so far, just the 2017-2018 season?
I would probably take Kyrie number one and DeRozan would be two and probably Beal third so far. Wall's injured and Oladipo should have been in the list, but he got injured as of late. I'll take Irving number one, just the amount of times he's taken over in the fourth quarter this year for Boston. He's hit some real clutch shots and single-handedly carried their offense at times. He's been great and really fit in well with them, improved his playmaking, averaging about 25 and 5 on, you know, efficient shooting. So he'll be number one, but DeRozan keeps playing like this, he can certainly take that spot from him soon.
Yeah, definitely DeRozan could jump him, but I agree. I think Kyrie's been the best guard. Obviously, Boston with the best record in the East and having those big moments, those big threes, and just kind of stepping up as the guy, you know, being that key player on your team. I think DeRozan obviously is starting to take that title away from Kyle Lowry, but the fact that he still has Lowry there kind of helps him a little bit. So I'd agree with DeRozan at two, with the possibility of him jumping if he can hit this three-point shot and the Raptors keep playing the way they've been playing with a lot more passing, a lot more motion on offense. I think it could really be a nice season for the Raptors. Me and Corey talked about it a few weeks ago. Are the Raptors a real deal? How confident do you feel about the Raptors in the playoffs? Can they beat a Boston or a Washington in a 7-game series?
I'm confident in Toronto more this year than years past. I would love to see the Boston-Toronto series. I think that would be epic and could really just come down to who has home court. I think they're definitely capable of beating Boston or Washington. Home court's obviously a factor, but maybe not Cleveland yet because of LeBron. But this year is a different Raptors team. They're insanely deep and versatile. They have some lineups that I don't think they've even unleashed yet. DeRozan has improved his passing and his threes, as we talked about. Lowry, Silva, I love their rookie, Anunoby, great defense, and he's starting to hit a lot of threes. I think he'll only get better. I mean, they're really like 11 deep. I love Jakob Poeltl a lot, too. They're one of the few teams that's top 10 offense and defense. They have the best point differential in the East. I think it's definitely a team people should take more seriously.
I think what you mentioned, the fact that they're deep, is an intriguing factor. And a lot of the bench guys are young guys that are going to get better. And like you said, OG Anunoby, he's somebody who can definitely give them some value, especially come playoff time with his defense. And going into the season, he wasn't even 100%. So obviously at some point this year, he probably will hit that. And then getting all the experience he's getting now come playoff time should really help the Raptors.
No question. They have some just – and with DeLon Wright and Fred VanVleet, they have guys who can – guard multiple positions, and they can, you know, move when they move Ibaka to center. They have just so many options in terms of lineups, and playoffs all about matchups, and they have the most matchups they can choose from. So I think they're a very dangerous team.
Yeah, it gives Dwayne Casey some nice tools come playoff time. Like you said, when you can throw an array of different lineups or you can match up with the other team and not really do any damage to yourself, it's definitely a nice advantage. So, but talking about guards moving over to the other conference, the West, got some bad news early in the year. James Harden is out 2 weeks. He's going to get reevaluated in 2 weeks with a hamstring injury. Somewhat serious because, you know, it could be a lingering thing. How much is this going to impact Houston right now?
Yeah, it's definitely serious. I mean, it's 2 weeks at best, can be up to 4 weeks. And if it's that long, that could really hurt Houston and, diminish their chances of getting the number one seed, which I know they wanted to give an edge over Golden State. In the meantime, I think they can survive. I mean, Chris Paul is obviously more than capable of running the offense. He'll have to be a little more aggressive scoring now. They just got Capella back. Hopefully they get Mamute back soon for their defense. The schedule is not too bad. They have some cupcakes they could take advantage of. So if they can just be slightly above 500 and survive, I think they'll be fine. And they could use this time to honestly rest Harden, who last year in the playoffs just ran out of gas.
Yeah, so it almost could be a blessing in disguise because Harden's always been one of those guys in his MVP type season that wants to play every game. He wants to play the minutes. He wants to put up the points. Now he's going to get some rest. The question for me is going to be, is this hamstring injury going to linger when it comes playoff time? Is it going to bother him being such a stop and go athlete and getting so much contact in the paint? Injuries like this can linger. So I think really important factor for the Rockets is going to be they allow him to get 100% before they bring him back. And it's a nice luxury when you have a Hall of Fame point guard like Chris Paul there to run the show.
Exactly. And they definitely shouldn't rush him back. Hamstring injuries are something that'd be really tricky and easily re-injured. So definitely err on the side of caution. And as you said, it could be a blessing in disguise. And obviously, you know, it hurts to lose a guy averaging 32 points and probably hurts his MVP race. But as long as Chris Paul stays healthy, they'll be viable.
Yeah, I mean, you could probably make the argument this might kill his MVP case because a lot of the time, you know, games played is a huge factor. And Harden could end up putting up amazing numbers in the games he's played and lose out to LeBron. And then, you know, some people would say he'd be robbed of his third possible MVP.
Yeah, I mean, if it's 2 weeks, maybe Harden could survive and still win. If it's four, that probably ruins his chances and then opens the door for it'll probably be LeBron because he never gets hurt now. So it's a shame that Harden may still have to win that MVP after so many years of being like second. But
it's a tough pill for him.
I know he's just so close, but hopefully 1 year he'll get it.
Yeah. Enough about Harden. Let's talk another more in the West. Moving over to some comments Paul George made. You know, he said he would have been more than happy to be traded to his hometown team. He also saying, you know, some quotes I'm paraphrasing, you know, he has to think about big picture when looking at his future. These are probably some comments that wouldn't make OKC fans very happy. What would be your thoughts if you're an OKC fan on Paul George? Do you like him or are you just like, bro, you're just going to leave anyways. I wish we didn't trade for you.
Yeah, I'm obviously nervous if I'm an OKC fan and these comments don't help. And because, I mean, the whole franchise now is just like, what's going to happen? Are we going to trade him? Where is he going to go this summer? So obviously the fans and the organization are going to be on edge. If I don't know if it's an absolute lock if he goes to LA this summer, even though it looks that way, but probably a lot rides on how well the Thunder do in the playoffs, and that just creates an immense amount of pressure for them.
Yeah, and it sucks is because in the West, you could get a tough first-round matchup and get knocked out in seven in the first round and not even really play a bad series but just be outmatched. So I think Okay, see, luckily they didn't give up a ton. Obviously, Cantor and McBuckets are playing pretty good in New York, but it still would not make me feel great about Paul George and just overall my fandom for him. If you had to put a percentage at it, what would you say the percent he goes to LA next summer?
I'd put it at 75%. It seems likely, and he publicly twice stated he wants to play there, and I'm sure the Lakers will make some trade to open up more cap space to sign him. I don't think it's absolute definite, and I think as I a lot is just the Thunder make any moves for themselves at the deadline, not involving George, and just how well they do in the playoffs. That's really their only chance of keeping him.
Yeah, I'm gonna get a number close to you. I think 66%. You know, two out of three chance he goes to LA, like you said. Everything's kind of leaned towards that. Unless some amazing opportunity shows up on another, championship caliber team, I think he goes to LA if he leaves OKC. And I just don't really feel that confident about OKC in terms of, having a long postseason run. There's just so many teams that are just so good. If you get matched up with Houston or Golden State in the second round, I really wouldn't put any money on OKC, and you could probably make an argument for San Antonio depending on Kawhi's health.
Oh yeah, San Antonio, people, always forget about them, but now that Kawhi's getting back in health, they're still very dangerous for sure. So it'll be tough sledding regardless.
I would definitely keep an eye on that. Do you think there's a possibility that the Lakers could make a move for George this season if OKC is not getting there in the standings and they're like, you know, we just want to get an asset for him before we lose him for nothing.
I mean, OKC, I don't think the Lakers will try to trade for him at the deadline. I think they'll risk trying to sign him in free agency. I'm sure they're pretty confident that they can. But OKC, I mean, they're just, who knows? Maybe they try to move him as a contender who may only want him as a rental and they don't want to sign him the offseason. So this next month or so before the deadline is absolutely huge for the Thunder. They got to keep progressing, otherwise they may have no choice but to move him.
Yeah, honestly, this is going to be a big month for a lot of teams, and the playoff race is not super far apart, so you can make a lot of ground up, make a move, and get yourself in the game or take yourself out with a blow up. But talking 2017, 2018 being the new year, what are you most looking forward to in the 2018 NBA season?
Wow, that's an excellent question. Oh, what am I most looking forward to the 20? I want Houston to play Golden State.
That's what I was going to go with. I got a few things. I think the trade deadline is always probably one of my most favorite things ever.
Oh, yes, of course.
Even though there's about like 6,000 rumors and there's only like six trades, but whatever, it's still fun. That's the best part. Trade machine is always joy. Then, like you said, getting a Houston Golden State matchup would be really fun. And also talking about, I think a Boston Toronto matchup would be really fun. And I'm
Yes.
all for seeing Cavs and Warriors again. I think LeBron is going to bring something extra this year, a little extra juice. Obviously, I still think the Warriors will win. I think it'll be a little bit closer than last time, though. I think there'll be a little bit more suspense. And having another big shot maker like Isaiah Thomas in a series like that is just going to only add more pop.
Yeah, and then you wonder if the Cavs make any win now moves at the deadline too. That's
True.
something to keep an eye on, or either be DeAndre Jordan or Marcus Ole. So that's something I look forward to. And then, yes, definitely the Boston Toronto series is the one I want to see the most in the East.
What are you most looking forward to? If you guys didn't know, Evan is a Hornets fan for the Hornets in 2018. Do you want to see good play or you just want to see the blow up?
I definitely want us to make some trades, try to shed some cap, get rid of some average players, and try to get younger. Maybe not a full blow up. Like I'd rather keep Kemba and make sure we keep our, first round pick and Malik Monk. But I definitely want to see some moves because, right now we're just desperately trying to get back in the eighth spot in the East, and that's not where you want to be as a franchise.
Yeah, it's tough. What would you say has been the biggest disappointment for the Hornets? I know we're getting a little off topic, but I'm just interested in what you think has been the main reason for them not being the playoff team all of us expected them to be.
Well, injuries have certainly been a factor. I mean, everyone has been injured at some point this season, and now we're mostly healthy besides Cody Zeller. But then besides that, Nick Batum obviously missed part of the season and came back, and he still, even though he had a decent game last night, has just been really bad for compared to his usual self. now we're kind of stuck with his big contract. So that's just been disappointing. His injury and ability to get back to where he used to be combined with his contract has really put us in a bad spot and been the most disappointing thing.
Yeah, definitely. Batum, obviously, the injury and the contract, I think that'll be something that'll be tough to move. They probably are going to have to sugarcoat that with some type of asset. For me, I guess I'll give my take. My most 2018 most looking forward for the Nets is seeing that Caris LeVert and D'Angelo Russell backcourt.
Ooh, that's a good one. I like that. I love both those players too.
So when they get healthy, I think they combo each other very well. If you want to hear me talk more Nets talk, you can check out my other pod, Brooklyn Buzz. But Evan, I want to get some hot takes from you before we get out of here. Give me some hot takes for 2018.
Okay, hot takes for 2018. I definitely think two teams, we're speaking of trade deadline contenders, Wizards and Thunder. Thunder could go after a guy like J.J. Barea on the Mavs.
I like that.
An offense creator. Wizards, I think, still want to make a move for DeAndre Jordan or perhaps his teammate Lou Williams off the bench. I think those would be a couple spicy trades. Derek Favors, Utah, I think could go to a team like Milwaukee looking for help up front. So I think it'll be a pretty active trade deadline. And I guess my other one hot take is the Raptors will be the one seed in the East.
Ooh, I like that one. A lot of positive Raptors talk. So I think I agree with the trade deadline stuff. I think just the way the cap's going, especially a lot of people have mentioned this already, this offseason a lot of teams are going to be without cap space. So the teams could already start trying to shed their cap early now. We're looking forward to the offseason, especially teams that haven't hit that level they're expecting. And I'll say my hot take, we see two all-stars moved at the trade deadline. You know, not maybe all-stars right now, but former all-stars of Marc Gasol or somebody like a DeAndre Jordan, somebody else. There's always going to be a mystery name that pops up. And then hot take-wise, I don't even think this is a hot take, but I think LeBron stays in Cleveland.
Yeah, I definitely see both those. And I definitely agree with the trade part. So definitely at least one big name is getting moved and something will come out of the woods like the DeMarcus Cousins last year for sure.
Exactly. And that one kind of, and it's always funny because it's always the guy that the team say they're not going to trade that end up getting moved, like Jimmy Butler, DeMarcus Cousins, even smaller names like Brook Lopez. You know, those guys are all never supposed to be moved. They're staying with their franchise. Next thing you know, someone calls up and the deal's done.
Yeah, exactly. And I can't wait for, I've been on the trade machine for hours.
So, and just a quick note, OTG is going to be putting out a lot of trade content, so keep an eye for that announcement coming soon. But Evan, thank you for hopping on. Thank everybody for listening. Happy New Year, and make sure you listen to the OTG pods on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, and OTGBasketball.com.
Thanks, Nick.